Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Glenn Dahlketter. Oh, here. Let me just start this again here. There we go. Yeah, hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and this is October the 24th, and today we're going to be talking about part two of our performance psychology and how to extend your Performing Edge Coaching work into sports and then into other areas, too, such as test anxiety, people in business, and you can work with sales managers, you could work with people, musicians, artists, creative people, just about anyone. It's amazing how these kinds of techniques, performing edge techniques, work in just about any area of life. And so you might have a sports client that then has other issues in other things. Like I had this, marathoner client who then asked me, can these same techniques be worked, to be used to help me pass the bar exam? And so we worked on that area as well. And then you might have other clients who are just pure, business clients or pure musicians that, are not.
Hello, I'm sorry, I cannot hear you.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. You're not as clear as the last conference call.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah.
Turn it up a little bit. The volume. Oh, thank you for letting me know. Oh, hi, is that Eve?
Yeah, Eve, hello.
Hi, Eve, yeah. Yeah, you're calling in from, is it Luxembourg?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, that's great. It's great to hear your voice. Yeah, fantastic. So, let's see. So I was... move over to my other phone here and see if this one is even better. Just hang on just a second. Yeah, is this how's this sound?
Oh,
better.
Better.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah, better. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, thanks. Yeah, so I just heard the ding. Did someone else join us as well?
Yes, Pam just did.
Oh, hi, Pam. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. That's great. Yeah, great to have you on the line, too. Yeah. So, thanks. And so we were going to talk about sports performance psychology and how you can apply these performing edge techniques to, other areas. And I have an example for you, a business example I wanted to share with you. The main purpose of these calls, of course, is to answer your questions as well. So feel free to, either email me questions or ask questions on the call here. So I think, Alex, you had a question first. We can just maybe go over that one and then dive into the performance psychology stuff. First, since you're calling in from Luxembourg, do you have any progress, or if anyone has any success stories or anything that they want to share, feel free. I don't know, Eve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. If you wanted to share anything about what you were doing there, that's great.
I will listen and then I will comment.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that sounds great. Let me just talk about the business psychology first, and then Alex, we can ask your question after that. Is that okay?
Sure, that's fine. That's perfect.
Yeah. Okay. So some things I wanted to talk about are how to get in the door with coaching business and performing arts clients and other clients like that. How to And one of the things you can do, also, if you have a background noise, if you could just press *6 to mute your phone while you're listening, that would be great just to, so we don't hear the background noise, just to hit *6 on your phone. And then if you want to ask a question, then just press *6 again to unmute your phone. That's how that works. That'd be great. So thanks. So, one of the things you want to do is to talk about the kinds of work you do in many places, you know, so that, like, on, for instance, on your website, you could have a page to talk about business coaching as well as sports coaching. And, you know, when you do, you know, create a section on your website with that, you can also, write your blogs, you know, write articles, short articles about that, about the types of clients you would like to work with or clients you have worked with. And you can also do, you know, talks, give talks at business presentations, you know, ask at your local Chamber of Commerce. They're always looking for speakers, and that's a way to connect with people in business. You can, you know, create videos around that. You know, I'll be doing one of our calls on how to do Google Hangouts. That's this new system. I've done some interviews with some of you on Google Hangouts before, so you're probably, a lot of you are already connected. It's something that Google Plus or Google has put together because Google owns YouTube. They, you know, it's easy to do what they call Hangouts now. You've probably all heard of Skype calls, Skype conference calls, where you do you can talk with someone else for free anywhere around the world. And so now Google has created something that's even better, much better than the Skype calls, which with better reception. And you can really connect one-on-one with your clients. So that's a great way. And you can also just do webinars or do a conference, do a talk yourself on there. You can just basically record yourself. So I'll be teaching you how to do that. And you can also just go to, you just get a Gmail account through, you could just you know, Google that, how to get a Gmail account if you don't have one, and then you just create, set up a G Plus account or a Google Plus account, which is very simple, and then you just click on start a hangout, and then you can basically have a call with another person. You can invite other people through email, or you can do one yourself. So that'd be a good way if you're doing performance psychology coaching to talk about the kinds of problems that people have and the kinds of things that you, areas you want to work in. And just to, you know, just a short little thing. It could be 1 or 2 minutes because most people only listen to videos for a short period of time unless it's a longer training that they're doing, you're doing online. So if you're doing a marketing type of video, you want to do it, make it just 1 to 2 minutes because the majority of people only listen to videos for, say, 90 seconds or so, and then they move on to something else. So you want to have that, have what you say, really make it really short and to the point. And then if you're doing a longer training later, you can also do those on Google Hangouts for free, and then you could put that on your website as well. So that's another way to sort of get in the door. You could also go to, you know, companies and offer to give a talk there first for free. So you could go to, for instance, you know, your local businesses, and a lot of them have what's called lunch and learns. So at lunchtime or brown bag lunch type thing. So you could go there and give a talk for free at first, and then they, if they like you, they may well, you know, most companies have a very large budget for speakers and for training, for sales training, for marketing training, and training for their CEOs, their executives, their managers. So you can go and, you know, a lot of times they'll, for instance, pay, I know one company I spoke for recently, they pay $2,500 for, you know, to give a talk at one of these lunch and learns, and then you can, you know, build up from there, and lots of the managers, regional managers, and national managers will they'll go back to those people and have you speak for their regional conventions and national conventions. So that's a great way to get speaking engagements and coaching clients, individual coaching clients from the companies. And you can also write articles for their websites, offer to write an article for the website of different companies. They love that. Usually they're really looking for content. So they want to have, you know, your input with the mental side of performance for business. So offer to write something for their website, their blog. You could be even ideally, you know, be a regular columnist and say write something. It could be short, even like 250 words, 500 words for one time, for once a month type of thing. And then you can just search on that on the web, business blogs, business, top business websites, and then just, you can comment on their blogs or offer a short article. So those are all really good ways to connect with businesses. And then also if you have a client, let's say a sports client who also works for a company, sometimes, they're so interested in your work, they'll say they'd really like to have you speak for their organization, their business, or their professional association that they're associated with. For example, this harp player that I mentioned last time in our part one of our performance psychology, I worked with her. She wanted to buy my book, and then I said, well, while you're here, why not, I'd be happy to do a session with you and make you an MP3. So she paid for a session and then said, I'd really like you to, I think it'd be really great to speak for our professional musicians society, because all of these societies, and organizations, they talk about how to create music, how to play the notes, how to do the technical part of performance, but nothing about the mental side of performance and how to perform and how to not draw a blank in your mind. So those are great ways. You might have clients that, so you don't want to be too pushy and ask, how do I get into your organization? But you can do it in a natural kind of way and just offer, say that if you'd like me to give a talk for your business or your association, I'm available for that kind of thing. And so oftentimes clients will have you speak for, they have a whole, network of people that they are associated with. So, those are some ways to get in articles, videos, your website, speaking, connecting with communities, also social media, of course, on Facebook you can search for, businesses. You can connect with groups, look for Facebook groups that are business-oriented, and you can contribute there and always put a link to your website, to a specific page in your website that talks about business, not just to your homepage. People make that mistake of always just linking to their home page, but you want to put a link to the specific page on your website that talks about business that's really specific for their needs. And maybe you have a top 10, write about a top 10 tips page that you refer people to that really has some good, it's not just marketing, but it needs to have really good content. So that's really a great way to connect with people. Also Twitter and then Google Plus is becoming, everybody knows about Facebook, a lot of people, and Twitter and LinkedIn and YouTube. The newer up-and-coming one is Google Plus, is really a powerful social network as well. So just get a Gmail account and then you just click on there. It'll say how to start your Google Plus account, and it's basically just like Facebook. Putting blogs in and putting entries about what you're doing. And Google is now, paying a lot more attention to what happens on Google Plus because they own it, of course. And so they're really spending billions of dollars to make that much more prevalent. And so when you write something, like I've noticed when I do something on my Google Plus account, it gets indexed by Google much quicker, and you can see it right on, when somebody searches on that topic. So I would say, put as much emphasis on Google Plus as you do on Facebook or Twitter. And Google Plus has now overpassed Twitter in terms of number of users. So they're rising so quickly as a social media outlet that they're actually higher than Twitter, and they're now going for becoming higher than Facebook, which will take a little while, but they're getting there too. So it's a great way to get found on the web to interact on those sites. And then also we can interact about that. I wanted to just mention, give us in click on the link in the last email I sent you if you haven't signed up for our Facebook page, and you can I started a new private Facebook page, PECI, or just search on go to Facebook and then be in Facebook and then search on PECI private group, and then you can just click in the upper right hand corner there and just click join group, and then I have to manually accept you into the group because it's a private, so only people in our active members of our Performing Edge Coach group here are allowed to be part of that. So and then we can answer questions there also. So I wanted to then give you a little case example of how this might work with a client. How you might work with a business client. I had one client, we'll call him Phil, his first name, and he found me on the web, just looked on under psychology, performance psychology, and was looking for someone to work with for his anxiety, for his performance anxiety issues at work. And he was a successful brand manager at a large company, and he had some anxiety that started 7 years ago that he would get before giving his business presentations. He called, the way it happened is he just searched on the web and found my website, and then just called me. And then I called back or emailed, and then we found a time to chat. For what you want to do is maybe have a time, say for 15 minutes, offer just to talk with them for 15, 20 minutes on the phone or Skype to just discuss their issues and what if you can be of help, kind of thing. And it's easier to say it that way, just to talk about their goals and their challenges and how you can be of help. To phrase it that way, as opposed to, to say that they're sort of, need to set up a session, because obviously that's what you want to be able to do, set up an appointment time with them. But first, you want to find out if, kind of qualify them and see if they're the right kind of person for you to work with. If you feel comfortable working with them, and then you can after that set up an appointment time, tell them your fees, and they can become a client of yours. So in this case, this client, Phil, had anxiety that started 7 years ago, and he said his brain is real overactive and, just really needs to, sometimes he feels out of control with how much his mind is working. He's really a smart guy, and, obviously he's very successful in his business. But he used the phrase, he's kind of like a duck in water, how, on the surface of the water, everything looks smooth and nice, but underneath is all this activity going on, like in his heart. His heart rate is fluttering, and he's really going crazy inside, a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress. So he said he would be sweating and sort of psyching himself out, a lot of lack of confidence. That would happen before these business presentations. It started there, and then it extended into his social anxiety situations as well, like just even meeting someone new at work, he would get anxious. Even time with his in-laws, he would get very anxious. And now he has, he wanted to work on his performance anxiety at work before presentations to senior management and also sales meetings at work. He tends to get really anxious there with a lot of negative thoughts and thinking, what if I mess up? What if I don't do as well? And so this would happen before planned presentations. And then it also started happening, the anxiety happened with unplanned moments, those times, ad hoc, unplanned moments when somebody is, a person walks into his office unexpectedly and asks, a question, or he's saying, what's this person going to ask me? And then he'd say, he would default to the, oh, no, oh, shoot, oh, can I handle this? and really feel that lack of confidence in those unplanned moments, which we all have. He said they're going to ask me to, you know, tell me the margins on this product, or tell me the numbers, the figures, the sales on this product. Or they ask, can you fill in for me at this talk? And he has to say, figure out if he has to say yes or no. So all of those kinds of things would get in the way. And he said he feels like internally, you know, rationally, he says this is the dumbest thing to be anxious about because I can handle all this. You know, he's been there forever. He's very successful. But he would just say, because he's very perfectionistic and needs to control things, he would default to saying, oh shoot, there goes my plans to, you know, take care of my own needs, or get everything just got derailed. I was going to go get some water to drink, and now everything's all messed up. Or I need to get 5 things done before noon, and now this person that walked in, this disruption, is just ruining my schedule. That's what he would be saying to himself. And so he said, you know, we talked about the need to be able to have tools. He wanted to have tools to be able to switch gears, to change his mindset and be able to be flexible. He said that he would like to have what he was asking for with our performance or performing edge psychology was how to have a much stronger mental framework for both types of situations, for the planned ones and the unplanned moments, since he was having anxiety in both of those situations. And in a moment, I want to ask you guys, you can be thinking about what you would say to this person, or how you would, what kinds of things you would suggest to them, as well if you were coaching them. So you could be thinking about that. And then what I did was, then I just asked him about any medical treatment. That's a good, important question to ask as well. And so it's important, even if you're not familiar with all the medications people might be taking, it's good to just keep a record of those and know if someone is on medication. So he said he's on MD first, and he got who prescribed beta blockers, but they got him drowsy, made him drowsy, so that wasn't really good. He took benzodiazepines, and he saw a psychiatrist, and who gave him a lot of medication at first, but then he couldn't, you know, it created this dependence, and he felt like he couldn't cut down, and he got this over-reliance on the medication in certain situations. You know, it's always that, he said he would have that feeling of, well, if one pill works well, why not take 2? And so he would, when he would get anxious, he would, you know, take 2 of the pills instead, and so it created this kind of psychological dependence on the medication. And then he started seeing what he called a talk therapist or psychologist to talk through these problems or issues. And he felt his anxiety began to go down as he could see where it was coming from. And the psychologist gave him some tips. So this is before he saw me, of course, and gave him some tips before bedtime, you know, things like no screens, he referred to, which, you know, when you're saying screens, it's usually, you know, computer screens or your iPhone screen or iPad, to try to, you know, take a half an hour before you go to bed and not deal with screens, which are computer stuff, because that can be anxiety-provoking, especially if you're going through a lot of emails and, you know, you get an upsetting email, that kind of thing. So turn off your iPhone and do less right before bedtime, take care of yourself, slow things down, and go to bed and wake up with, you know, with positive thoughts. Maybe have a group of positive affirmations to say to yourself. So he said his outlook is now better, but he's really interested in how the mind works, and he's still very anxious, and he's a very structured person and oriented, and has goals and lots of goals and objectives. But whenever he goes to even large groups or small group meetings at work, his reaction is fear. You know, oh no, oh, I got to deal with this situation. And so now he's taking 1 milligram of Xanax a day, and he feels, you know, comfortable with that. But he doesn't want to have to be reliant on this medication. and says he's looking for a strong mental framework and approach with these performance instances, and instead of defaulting to, oh my gosh, or oh no, to be able to say, oh, okay, I can handle this. And so that's why he was looking to into performance psychology and into calling me to look into that, because he plays hockey as well. Interestingly, he's a recreational hockey player, and so he just like he plays hockey, where he just is totally focused on his hockey game. You know, wants to be able to turn that anxiety into. I said, you want to, just like you have play hockey, turn that anxiety into positive energy. And so as I mentioned before, he perceives himself as like a duck in water, where there's lots of activity, or smooth on the top, but lots of activity underneath the water. And he wants to, you know, on the top he's perceived as being in control and happy and positive and fun, but underneath that, all of that is just a lot of personal uncertainty and lack of confidence there. So, you know, he does unbelievably well at work. He says he gets top performance reviews. He's top ranked in his division at work. But he wants to be able to just do all that without having this anxiety or fear of judgment, and just have a more productive life. So let me ask you, before I mention what I did with him, I ask all of you, what would you say to this guy, to Phil? And how would you coach him? What kind of techniques might you give him? Anybody, just feel free to jump in, anyone.
I just want to make a comment. It's in fact, when I listen to you, it's a mix between a therapy and a coaching in this case.
A mix between therapy and coaching?
Yes, because he is anxious. You talk about the pills he is taking, etc. So it's more the therapy approach in this case. But when you explain, you focus on the future. So that's the part of the coaching.
This is Eve talking, right?
Eve, yes, yes.
Great. Just so everyone knows. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, that's a generic question. Is it possible to do a therapy and a coaching at the same time? Or we have to say, okay, this guy is anxious, so let's first fix the problem, and then let's move to the coaching objective.
That's a great question, Eve. Yeah, I would say that as long as you're focusing on his goals and reducing anxiety, that's if it sounds like he's getting into serious, you know, mental disorder issues, then it would be good to refer him to a psychologist or therapist or someone else that can do that part of the work. And then you can still do the coaching part, and you can if any of you are psychologists or therapists yourself, I think Suzanne, you are. You could do both at the same time, kind of thing. But if you're not, you know, trained with as a licensed psychologist or licensed therapist, then I would say, if he's asking for some issues, dealing with the past, and you say dealing with a lot of serious family issues or that kind of thing, it would be best to refer that person to someone else to deal with that part. And you could still work on the coaching part of working on his goals and moving forward and relaxation as relaxing through the anxiety, all of that. You can still do that. You would not have to wait until someone else finished with therapy, because that could be, if it's a long-term therapist, it could be a long time for that to happen. But you could still be working on his goals and his, moving forward and behaviors, changing behaviors now that he's working on. Does that kind of make sense, Eve?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. And so it's a kind of a, yeah, it's a fine line, and it's not, it's a sort of a subjective judgment that you need to make, and that's great. If you have questions like that, it's good. You can always bring them to these calls too. That's a, one of the purposes of these calls is to be able to, if you feel like you're stuck or you're not sure about a client, to be able to ask about that, here. And if you feel like you're getting into an area that you're not comfortable in, or that's out of your realm, then it's perfectly fine to refer that person out to a therapist or a psychologist. And for the medication part, of course, you want to make sure that he's being followed by a psychiatrist or MD or someone that's licensed to give that kind of medication. But there's a lot, you find that a lot of clients, some clients might be on some sort of medication, and that's fine. You can still be doing your coaching with them. If someone were really, having serious mental issues, like they were feeling suicidal or, feeling like that, then you'd want to, definitely refer them to their, back to their psychiatrist or doctor, or make sure that they're, being seen by a licensed professional for those kind of issues. But if it's someone that you can usually tell on the phone how functional the person is, and if they are goal oriented, and if they're they have a job and they're working towards certain things, certain objectives. That's the kind of thing that you want to be able to work on with them. And reducing anxiety, you doing the MP3 kinds of recordings for them is great. Asking them lots of questions and going through mental rehearsal. Just think about the work that you do with athletes and fitness people. If you can, just like they're rehearsing their competitions, if you can draw those kinds of analogies and to think about doing that same kind of work with someone in business, because sales, especially people in sales, it's basically competition, and it's working with people that have a lot of pressure to perform, and they may have quotas they need to meet. So if you can think about, usually they, like this guy said, I like the idea that you're working with Olympic athletes and top athletes, and that I would like to learn those same techniques that you use with athletes, for my psychology. So that's a wonderful. You see, a lot of people are thinking of that, and they think about all the work that you do or would like to do with athletes, and think about how can you do a crossover into the area of business. And even if you don't know about their business in particular, just be really inquisitive, ask lots of questions at first about what kind of work do you do, what kind of pressures are you under, what's your schedule, what are those unplanned moments, give me examples, and ask them to just explore lots of follow-up questions. Tell me what it is that you're wanting. Let's take one particular situation, whatever it is, someone walks in and wants to take over one of their talks, fill in for their presentation, and let's see what kind of situation that you can create a situation, and then see what would you like to do, how would you like to respond to that, and then have them visualize that and go through a whole scenario like that. And you can do that with all the different possible situations at work that they come under. And I would say start with the ones that are a little less threatening, like the planned situations, like planned presentations. Talk about those first, how to give a presentation and how to do it. Just like golfers do have a pre-shot routine, or runners have a pre-race routine, you can have the speaker have a pre-presentation routine, drinking some water, doing some, I'll even like run in place in the restroom. If you don't have a place to go outside, just kind of get the blood pumping or run down the hall or something right beforehand. to get that anxiety out and be able to get yourself kind of excited and ready to go. So have, you know, create this kind of pre-presentation routine. And then go for the unplanned moments after that and talk to them about, you know, how do they handle all these ad hoc situations or unexpected situations that come up, and how can you be flexible with those. And treat them like scenarios, just like you would with an athlete, all the different possible scenarios that might come up, so that they can kind of visualize each one and then have a plan to get through each one successfully. Yeah. Does that help, Eve?
Yes. To reply, I would use also the ask him to explain what type of emotion he's feeling and where in the body, and link to what situation, and then he can note, in fact, all the cases and try to work on these cases. What you can do is to link also the action, the use of the body. For example, I coach a CEO, and then during the introduction to learn him, I knew that he was more focused on action rather than on mental and emotion. So I asked him to start to talk about first about what are the issues, and then ask him walk, and he was walking and talking, and then ask him so what is the situation now, and what is the situation you want to achieve, and then you ask him did you feel the way you walk between the two cases when he was talking about the current situation and the past and the future, and the speed was different also, but he could not identify that. And then I used I was doing the coaching in action, walking, moving, doing some exercises, but always talking about a real situation, and then to feel the emotion in the body.
Right. That's great, yeah. And get connected to the body. That's perfect. I love that, Eve, because so many CEOs and people in business are, you know, get disconnected with their body.
Absolutely. I had a case when Step was a lawyer, very intelligent.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, ask him to show the emotion with an action, and then the person could not, because the person was disconnected with the body, and always mental, but not using anything about the body, and then the person had a problem with self-esteem. And that's linked, in fact. When you don't have, when you don't like your body, then you don't use your body, and then you only use your brain. And then the goal is to reconnect the brain and the body.
Right, exactly. I love that. Yeah. If there's a way that you can always ask yourself, okay, what am I what am I thinking, and then what am I feeling in my body, and. And like you say, keep those two connected, and you can create change in either one. Change your thoughts, and that can change the way that your body reacts. If you kind of have a more relaxed thought in your mind that okay, I can handle this, this is going to be okay, oftentimes the body will relax. Or you can start with the other way around, too, and just start with your body and just, do some nice deep breathing and take 5 deep breaths. And then as you're doing that, you can notice that your thoughts in your mind are, oh, okay, I'm more relaxed. Yeah, this is gonna work out. I can handle this. And so the thoughts start to come to you of everything is going to be okay. So, that's good with the brain and the body. It can work. It doesn't have to work just in a linear fashion of, change your thoughts, and then your emotions, then your body. and your actions. I think you can start at any point, whichever one's easier for you. Oftentimes breathing is one of the really easy ways to start, is just take 5 deep breaths, and then it usually, then if you can teach people to have those, say, some power words, 5 phrases that they say to themselves, you know, that I can handle this, or what, you know, thinking of what you're grateful for, what you're thankful for. I'm thankful I have a job. I'm thankful I have this position. You know, if you come from that place of thankfulness or gratefulness, usually it, then you can, the other, you know, just gets you in a more positive place, so then you feel like you can move forward. So that's great. Thank you, Eve. Yeah.
You're welcome. And just another feedback. I've heard that by combining meditation, combining neurofeedback and placebo effect, it helps also. But now, practically, I don't know how to put in place the placebo effect for somebody. I don't have any exercise to generate this positive effect.
The positive effect?
Sorry?
I wasn't, couldn't quite hear you. To generate the positive effect?
Placebo effect. I don't know if it's, will you say that in English? Placebo, no? When you take, for example, a pill.
I think he's saying placebo.
Placebo.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Is that Pam?
No, Sue.
The soup. Oh, yeah. Oh, right. You were just pronouncing it differently. Did you mean placebo effect?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Right.
What type of exercise can you do to generate this placebo effect? That's what I don't know.
Okay. Well, I think basically placebo effect is, just that belief system inside, and that you, it's often, of course, for those of you that might not be familiar with that term, probably a lot of people are, but if you haven't studied psychology, it's just, when you do double-blind studies and you have you give someone a medication, you give one group the real treatment, and you give another group just a sugar pill or a pill that does nothing, but you say this pill will have the effect of curing your cancer or whatever it is, it's just very powerful. Yeah, and so and that belief system often is as powerful as the pill, right? And so, you're saying how to generate that? Well, basically, just think of it as, your belief system, and what you think and feel and believe, and so if you can, one exercise you can do is see yourself. You can use, the 3 P's if you're performing EDGE, like I talk about, positive images, so you could have them visualize doing the activity that they want to be doing, the way they want to be doing it. So with this client, Phil, that I was talking about, we could have him visualize or see a mental picture of him, giving a presentation, being really strong and organized and confident and that his the anxiety inside is just floating away and feeling relaxed and being able to go through with it just as he wants. So that's one way. And then once he gives that presentation and sees it going well, then it can start to change your belief system too, that, hey, I am a good speaker and I am confident, I can do this. So that's one way is the positive images, and another way would be the power words, which is saying to yourself those affirmations of I believe in myself. I'm a I can relax even in difficult situations. I can handle any situation. And at first, your mind, the left brain might say, oh, no, you can't. You're an idiot. You tighten up in any kind of situation. But I think over time, if you repeat those power words several times, you can, it'll start to get ingrained in your body and be integrated. Yeah, do other people want to jump in? I don't know, Suzanne, were you there? Did you mention or
yeah,
anyone?
I just had a question.
Okay.
What about the unplanned event? So let's say you would do a, you know, like an MP3 that, you know, they're successful, but then all of a sudden a monkey wrench is thrown in, and would that actually work if you're if they visualize themselves as getting through everything successfully, and all of a sudden things go off track? How would you really desensitize them to that?
Yeah, that's a great question, Sue. Is that Sue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I think it's good to visualize all the different things that could come up. So yeah, say, you know, what you could do is just visualize, have a planned event. Let's say he's giving a presentation, and then the, you know, and then the slides go out, or the slides mm-hmm. aren't working. You know, if that's something he worries about, then I would say, okay, let's try that. Let's close your eyes and imagine yourself giving a presentation now. And imagine the slides aren't working, and the whole system goes down. Go through that scenario, and first, and just see what happens. And it's probably the first time, you know, it gets really mm-hmm. anxious and is fearful of that. Oh God! Oh shoot! What am I going to do now? And then you could go back and say, okay, now let's imagine it again. The slides. Or maybe just talk it through with the person. If that situation happens, what could you do? With this guy Phil, he may say, let's see, I've got this other story. While they're fixing things, I've got this other story I could tell, or this other part of the presentation. I could, whatever the slides were going to show, I could just tell them that and keep talking. As though, because things always happen, or make a joke out of it. Humor is always great, and say, you know, just something about here's Murphy's Law, you know, something, everything that's
right.
What can go wrong will go wrong, and so have him, you know, visualize, you know, imagine what he would do, and say, okay, now let's, or have him come up with what he would like to do, and then go back and say, okay, let's visualize that now.
So I guess you'd get all that information in the first session, maybe the 15-minute telephone call on the challenges. Would you get that information, or the second call?
Yeah, I'd say the first call, try to get what the challenges are as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you want to do in that call is create, have those, kind of give them, like what I was saying to you,
right.
Right now, is say, here's what we would do with that. With the slides, we'd give, you know, have you go through a situation, and then I'd have, you know, we'd create a plan, and then we'd rehearse that plan in your mind. Yeah, and create a film about the MP3. Of course, always say that, you know, we do a visualization, and I would record that for you, take you through the thing, and record it so you have it permanently. They always love that. And that's usually something unique that nobody else is doing. And then I'll record it for you as we're doing the visualization. Tell them that that's what you can do in the next session, the paid session kind of thing.
Like a conceptual information give back. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And that way
another thing, this is Pam.
Oh, hi, Pam.
Another idea is when they're doing visualizations,
uh-huh.
and then they go out, do whatever, if they have a mistake or whatever, is they can learn how to, in their visualizations, rewind. And so you can go back and visualize it a different way. One of the wonderful things about visualization is it's their doing, and they can make it whatever way they want. They can stop it in the middle, start it, rewind it, expand it, shrink it, whatever they need to. And so you can have them rewind when if something goes completely awry, and in real life, then they can re-visualize and rewind whatever didn't work and make it work in the way that they want to work, have it work.
That's great, Pam. I love that. Yeah, and I always tell clients, it's like imagine that it's a movie and you're the director, And
yeah,
yeah, you can go back. You're playing the movie, and if it doesn't, if something isn't working, then just go cut. You know, just say okay, cut, replay, yeah, rewind, and okay, let's do that scene again.
Yeah, letting the client know that they're in charge of that gives them a tremendous sense of kind of power over their visualization, and that they, wait, they can stop, they can redo, they can, you know, and it makes them, it opens up a lot of opportunity in their brain.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. Yeah, it's thanks, Pam. Yeah, it's
sure.
That you got. Yeah, because a lot of people think of visualization, you know, they think of, like, hypnosis. Oh, you're going to tell me I have to think this, and then I need to think this, and just, you know, this whole, that it's got to be this way, one, two, three. But if you can, as you say, Pam, open up their minds to the fact that anything is okay. There's no right and wrong to, yeah, these visualizations. And, yeah, because what happens a lot of times when people, you know, your clients that will come to you, that they play the same old scene over and over again in their mind, that same crappy scene
yep.
of, oh, here it comes again, you know, this situation, and here I messed up again, and now I feel crappy again. And so they've got that one scene playing over and over again, so if they can, yeah, you can find another way, as you say, yeah, Pam, to replay it, rework it, yeah, start it over, you know, just like a kid would do, you know, just have, think of, you know, what would you, it, a lot of people have children, or they can think back when they were a child, you know, they you know, kids, you know, are really great with thinking of different, oh, let's try it this way, let's do this, oh, let's do this. You know, when we were kids, you know, you'd spend half an hour, coming up with this new game and then making up the rules. So if you can think of how a child thinks, that there's all these different ways, you know, be creative, different ways of, you know, thinking about a situation. And or also step outside of it, you know, like with visualization, you can think of yourself in it, you know, that you're there, the actor in the movie, actually doing it. Or if you're having trouble and you haven't it's not working well, think of it as, you know, stepping outside, like you're up on a hill with a video camera videoing down on this person who's, you know, acting or who's in the situation. So if you step outside and you say, oh wow, that person's really anxious, or really here, they need to, you know, relax or do some breathing, or need to laugh a little bit, lighten up. You know, if you're outside the situation, oftentimes you can see the what's going on and see where they need to make changes. What's that? Did someone say something? Oh, so, if you try to talk, or you press *6 if you had muted and wanted to come back in. But anyway, Pam, yeah, that's great. Yeah, lightening up and stuff. Yeah, all the different possibilities. It's just endless, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, is let's see, who else is on the line? Do you want to jump in, Alex, or who else is with us?
I have a question, Joanne.
Oh, Dave, yeah, go ahead.
Do you use the pre-visualization assessment in this case as well, or are you kind of just going along with the flow, and is a pre-visualization assessment something you use every time you do a visualization?
It's yeah, that's a good question, Dave. And I think you can use it whenever you feel like it's appropriate. I would always do it in an initial session, so that I can, when I'm doing that that peak performance visualization MP3, so that I get, you know, because you really want them to access their you know, their peak moments and when they were doing really well. With this one, I'd say, yeah, you can also use a pre-visualization assessment to imagine, you know, like, let's say a person is really anxious, like this guy Phil was. I would say that, let's say, usually someone can think of a time when they were not anxious. So think of a time, you know, when you were confident. It might not be giving a presentation. It might be in another situation, just talking with your wife, or talking with, you know, the first time you met the love of your life, or or something, you know, you got some really good news. So think of a time when you weren't anxious or you were confident, and let's do a, and then do the pre-visualization around that of that when they were the way that they wanted to be, and then you could have them imagine that, go through that situation, then the second one you could do is say, okay, so now you have this situation where you are anxious, and you're let's say that unplanned situation, like Sue was talking about, and someone walks in your office and asks you to do something. You know, what's your normal reaction? They'd say, "Oh, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, now what do I do?" And then ask them, "Okay, what would you like to do? How would you like to respond to that?" And then have them go into all the details about that. You know, let's create the kind of a really good situation where someone walks into your office and they ask you to do something, and then maybe you feel those little butterflies in your stomach, but then you quickly say, "Okay, this is an opportunity. I can handle this, and this is okay. And yeah, I can move. I could tell the person yes, or I could tell the person no. I don't have to say yes or no right now. I can say, let me think about that. Opening my options up." all the things that they would like, how the way they would like to respond to it, kind of like a rehearsal. You know, they're thinking about, here's what I could do, and you could ask them, okay, let's brainstorm. What's a good way to handle that situation? What are the things you could do to really help yourself? And then see yourself breathing, you know, in between, and as they're talking, that you're breathing and kind of settling yourself down. And then you're thinking about all the different things that you could, the options, the things that, how you could respond, and that you're kind of pacing yourself through the conversation so it's not rushed, and all of that. And you see them kind of talking about it the way that they'd like to handle it, and maybe bringing in something from the past too. They think, oh yeah, here when this other guy came in, I reacted better, and here's what I did there, and say, okay, so now we've got our game plan. And then you could do a visualization around that and say, okay, so we've got your plan, so let's visualize now. You know, close your eyes and imagine this person walking in. You're working on your work here, and this person walks in unexpectedly and asks, can you do this talk for me or something? And now you see yourself, and then just kind of go through all the words, all the phrases that he said, that the client gave you just then, and you see yourself thinking about it, breathing and responding and you're just calming yourself down and you're pacing yourself, and you feel, you see that you're in control, and see how that might work, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. Very helpful. Very helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joanne. Unfortunately, I've got to go to work. It's Sue.
Okay.
I really appreciate it. It was very, very helpful, the session.
Oh, good. Great. Yeah, thanks. If you have any more questions, feel free to... Yeah,
for sure.
I'm
back on track.
You. Yeah, great. It's great having you participate. I love your questions and your thoughts.
Thank you. So
okay.
Bye-bye, everybody. Have a great day.
Yeah,
okay, bye.
Take care.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Good. I think, Alex, you had a question, did you, earlier? Dave, yeah, did that answer your question?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, and if you have, so there's lots of things you can do, and the great thing about that pre-visualization assessment, yeah, you could use in any situation, and you don't have to use the whole thing too. You could just use a smaller part of it sometimes if you have a client that wants to work on a specific situation. But like this thing with the anxiety, like this guy, he said, well, somebody might walk in and they, you know, might ask, oh, can you fill in for a talk for me? And someone else might come in and ask, oh, what are the margins on this product? What's the sales figures on this product? So you might do a separate visualization about that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then another.
So they might be different sessions, too.
Different things. Instead of just one session, now you've got, you know, if he's got 10 different scenarios, you just... got yourself 10 more sessions with the client, which is nice. I mean,
that's awesome.
Yeah, because whatever situation they come up with, you can work through. I would say instead of not, you don't want to try to handle all 10 situations in one session because that could be anxiety provoking in itself. But
yeah, then I'll have to do a visualization for myself at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's unplanned moment for you, right? So yeah, and that's a good point. I think as coaches, we want to be a role model for our clients, right? And try to use these techniques ourselves because we all get anxious too, and all kinds of things can happen. So you can always bring in also your own stories, your own examples of when you were anxious and how unsettled you felt, and then how you were able to get through that situation, and that's really helpful for clients, I think, to say, wow, he's in there too. I'm not the only one. And it helps you really connect with the client on a deep level. So that's great. Yeah.
Well, Dr. Chuan, just to clarify, the pre-visualization assessment is aims at a positive image, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's the idea, right?
Okay. It's not about addressing the entire visualization. You just want the client to be able to bring a positive memory, visualization, imagery that they can recall at any moment. That's what it is, versus a visualization is more a complete whole scenario. That's the difference? Or am I missing something?
What was that last part? Versus what?
Versus a visualization is the entire process of going from creating a pre-routine to executing a shot to finishing, that would be an entire visualization versus a pre-visualization is just a positive aspect of it. Is that the difference, or am I missing something?
Well, by word pre-visualization assessment, that I was just talking about the kind of questions you ask the client beforehand to get information from them do the visualization exercise with them.
Okay, cool. I see.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, so it could be when you're doing your pre-visualization assessment with them, it's just all kind of going through all the different things that have happened to them and beforehand. And the client will often, tell you, oh, yeah, I did this, like with the peak experience, I had this great experience here, with basketball, and I was shooting really well. Oh, but then I really messed up on this other shot. And so you might want to write that down, but I always put it in parentheses, the negative stuff, and I don't include that in the visualization itself.
I see.
Because they'll be playing this over and over again, and I don't want to reinforce the mistakes or the negative stuff.
Okay.
So, but you want to overall, like you say, aim at a positive memory. Of some sort, or it could be a pause in this situation with this anxious client. It could be not a memory, but a positive upcoming
experience.
Situation.
Yeah. Okay.
Feel good about that to be able to rehearse something that hasn't happened yet, but is coming up. So yeah, that's great. So Alex, while you're there, you had a question about President. Motivational talk you have coming up. Are you going to share what that is?
I was addressed by a baseball college coach. He wants me to talk to the team. Basically, he says that in his experience, this team tends to collapse when things don't go well. He wanted me to talk with the team. It's only half hour, so it's very short. I never met this team before, so I don't want to have any lofty goals either. Something very simple, straight to the point, where at least we can initiate something whereby I can address something about motivation and staying in the game And what crosses my mind is to do a few things in this short talk. One of them is to empathize with them how difficult it is to play baseball. I mean, just try to hit a moving target is quite a challenge.
Yeah.
I play golf. I take all the time I need to hit this golf ball and still don't hit it well. I can't imagine trying to move a moving target.
Yeah.
So it's kind of trying to normalize the experience of how frustrating it must be to try to make contact. And even when they do, they may not necessarily be they may actually end up being out because the ball is caught in the air. But basically what I wanted them to understand is just bring to the forefront the idea of what brings them to play baseball. What is their inner self motivation to play in this game? Because as they grow from T-ball, little leagues, into college, there's a huge gap. Whereas before they were just playing for fun, now they play for statistics. They're too overly concerned about numbers and what is my base percentage rate, percentage on base, and how am I hitting right and I'm hitting left, and so they become overly concerned with win and losses. So the essence of why I'm playing baseball is completely derailed, I think. So what I want to bring to the forefront to them is, I think we have to go back to square one. Bring more to your to the surface. What brings you to play baseball? Because that's kind of their inner motivation, I think. And then what I had in mind is to have them get a 3x5 index card and write it on a piece of paper so they can see that on a daily basis.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
And then create kind of a split this index card in half, one to put in writing what their self-motivation is to play baseball, and the other one is to create a very short-term goal that they will do to improve their game. That may be, I don't know, from going to the gym, I don't know, twice a week to three times a week, so something like that, something doable that they can do. And my idea was to, once you write that goal, is to give that piece of paper to a teammate.
Yeah.
So now you are not responsible just for yourself, but you have an obligation and a commitment that you have to do that for the sake of enhancing not just yourself, but also for the benefit of the team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I had in mind to do in half an hour. There's not much I can do, but I don't know. I just want to have your input about whether I have something else I should do or not do. Or, anyways, that was my question.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, Alex. And it's fantastic. The more you can get people involved in a group. First of all, congratulations on your opportunity to speak for this baseball college team. Yeah, that is great. How did that come up? Do you want to share with people how that came about?
To be able to talk
to them?
Well, I've been a consultant for a college nearby my house.
Uh-huh.
And every once in a while I've been quite busy lately with my famous dissertation, which is all finished and done. So now I have more time, and I've been approaching the coaches more with a stronger intention to be more involved. And I have sent a couple of articles to the baseball coach, so he's more aware of things, of strategies for the baseball coach. And this is a guy who has been quite elusive for me. Every time I tried to approach him before, he kind of walked to the side or walked away, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I tried a different approach, which is, okay, I'm going to send this guy an article. Boom. So he knows I am available in different ways. I'm not just there to drill you with questions, but I'm here to provide assistance to you and to the team.
That's great.
So I did that, and I followed up followed up with him and to make sure that he got the article, and then he came up to me and said, "Hey, what about giving a talk to the team, to the players, because they tend to be very down on themselves when things don't go well." So, all right.
Perfect.
So
yeah,
that's great.
Success story for everyone here. Yeah, that to actually give them content. Yeah, give them an article of some sort. Yeah. That you've written, it could be even short, or tips, tip sheet, or checklist. Yeah, that is great. And then they get a sample of what you could offer, and then boom, you got the opportunity.
Yeah.
So, and then this opportunity could, you know, with giving the talk, it could turn into, you never know of being able to do some work for them there for the team, or you think of the actual players. If they're interested in your work, they could go to their parents. You know, you could let them know that you're available for individual coaching, kind of thing.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, and they could go to the their parents could pay you to work with their kids too.
Yeah.
So, but in terms of your idea, I think that's fantastic to just talk for a short time about the. Yeah, the motivation to be in the game, like you say, ask them to think about what was it that I think one good exercise or one thought is to think about what attracted you to the game initially. You know, when you sort of had a love affair with baseball, what was it that brought you in? You know, when you were a kid, maybe they started playing when they were a kid. Think about when you first. Played your first baseball game or first, introduced to the sport for the first time, or did you watch on TV first, or then did you get a chance to play, or that first time when you had a success experience and you knew when you were really good, or you had a chance to be good. Ask them to think about that time and what that initial attraction was. And then think about, you know, maybe you could just throw it out there and then ask them. Usually with college kids, yeah, it's good if you can, you know, get them to interact with you right away and just say, just throw out maybe one or two word phrase, ask from the audience what was it that attracted you to the sport? And then ask them to raise their hands and they might say, oh, it was being up at bat, connecting with the ball, or the chance to hit a home run, or they might say, the pitcher might say, set of really good pitches, just ask them to kind of come up with the things that what it is that they like about the game, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and quickness, the suspense, or whatever it is, the excitement. The support from the coaches, or the atmosphere. They must be, there's probably lots of things they like about it. So ask them to come up with those things that they like about the game. And then also I think your idea of, just the emotion of it, normalizing the experience, how difficult it is to hit it just right, hit that moving target, and that it's tough to do. I think that's a good thing too. Yeah, just to say but then also you can at the same time you can say how that's why this is baseball is such a mental sport.
That's right.
You know, mental game, and how important it is to be able to use your mind to get a better performance out of your body. Right. And
that's
so.
Right.
Here, this is why, and say that there's so many different mental training techniques, performance techniques, and I have these performing edge techniques I can share with you to be able to do well in your sport. And you might just, share a couple of things, this in the book and your performing edge book. There's talk about the three P's. You could share that, which is, the positive images. That's chapter. You could share a few things in chapters. 6 of the book, and then power words, the positive phrases is chapter 7 in the book, and then the present focus, relaxing and focusing is chapter 5, and also a couple of, later chapter, concentration is another chapter in the book there too. So you could just share a few things about that, if you, is one suggestion, or anything in the book that you find that's helpful there. But you don't have to stick to just the Performing Edge book. Of course, you can anything that you have, your own experiences is great. Yeah, you could bring in your golf, you know, expertise too, and how you're hitting a target as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, that'd be great. And then statistics, like you say, it's just talk about how it's statistics are important, the wins and the losses, but the essence of playing baseball is what you want to. That's what really makes the difference, you know, when it comes to playing the game. You know, when you're down, how do you recover when you when things aren't going well? And so, doing that 3-5 card is 3-5 card is great for. I think it's a great idea, Alex. For the
But remind me, what are the three P's that you refer to?
Positive images, power words, and present focus. So those are, positive images is, you know, how to see yourself doing it right, using visualization and imagery. I use the phrase visualize to energize, and you're seeing that picture in your mind, that seeing yourself doing it right. So, for instance, if you're at the bat, you know, seeing yourself, you know, making that quick decision just right at the bat and hitting the ball, seeing it going exactly where you want it to go, making that perfect contact with the ball, bringing in all five senses to the experience, you know, so you not only see the ball come into bat, but you feel it, you know, you feel your whole body, you know, twisting at just the right moment and making that perfect contact and bringing in your sense of hearing, hearing the ball, that ball, you know, the bat connecting with the ball, just what does that feel like to connect with it just right? And I'm sure every player there has had that experience when they've mm-hmm. made that really good connection with the ball, the bat and the ball, and so you know, they could visualize that. And in chapter 6 in the Your Performing Edge book, you know, describes all that more, so you could just take some you could just spend a whole, you know, your whole talk just talking about that, the, you know, the first P, the positive images or visualization. Or you could do talk a little bit about the second P, which is the power words, and that's in chapter 7 of the book, Your Performing Edge book. And so talk about that's the things you say to yourself, you know, how you talk to yourself in positive ways and deal with the negative thoughts and all that. So that's chapter 7. You can talk about some things in there. There's, at the end of the chapter, there's seven ways to be able to, you know, create positive phrases for yourself. So you could do a little exercise with that, with power words, and how they, you could have them take a piece of paper and draw a line down the center, and on the left write their negative thoughts, you know, I can't do this, this is too hard, or that kind of thing. And then on the right-hand side, write their power words for each one. What do you want to be thinking? What do you want to be feeling? You know, how do you coach yourself through that? So that's an idea, an exercise you could do with them. You know, take this piece of paper, write them down, and then you could have each person share, or have some people raise their hand to share what they wrote, kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And then
do you think they'd be saying too much in half hour?
Yeah, if it's just a half an hour, maybe you just want to do I would do maybe just the first P, the positive images part.
Okay.
You know, imagine yourself seeing it right. And then you could say, well, there's three P's actually, and maybe I could give a second talk on, you know, this on the power words, what to say to yourself, maybe as a part two. You could suggest that afterward to them. And, you know, because you always want to, in a talk, let them give them something of real value that they can use right away, and then also suggest that there's much more, that we're just, you know, scratching the surface here.
Yeah.
And so that they want you back, you know, for another talk or for private coaching, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what I came up with, the idea of using 3x5s, come up with whatever happens, whatever comes from their inner belly, put in writing, and then a goal that you can achieve in the next few weeks or so.
Right.
So that kind of create some momentum towards developing the idea of developing long and short-term goals.
Yeah, so
I can have a way of them bringing me back. Okay, now we created one short-term goal. Now how do we create more ones, additional ones, and then I can introduce the three P's. So that's kind of what I had in mind.
Yeah.
But clearly, like, I don't give everything in half an hour. It's impossible.
Yeah, exactly.
But if I give it enough so they can be enthusiastic about, okay, I get a sense, but we want more. Okay, great. So that's basically what I'm trying to achieve.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. So they can come back, and then you can give another talk, or talk with them about, you know, maybe they could pay you for a second talk there, or something, you know, to bring in, and then let maybe you can see if they have, if you could get on a referral list there, or you know, for the coaches, for let them know for parents that are, you know, want more help for their kids, that you know, let them know your contact information and.
Yep.
Website, so they can contact you for individual help too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So great. Okay. Well, I need need to. We're out of time here. Need to run. So hope that was helpful to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Is that Pam?
Yep.
Yeah. Thanks, Pam.
Thank you.
That was so great. So we'll see you all on the second and fourth Thursday of the month. So the next one will be on November 14th, so you can put that on your calendar there. And,
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Sounds good. Pam, did you have any other questions, or you're okay?
Nope, I'm good. Thanks.
Oh, good. Okay.
Thank you, Pam.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Sure.
Sure.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, have a good day, everyone. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Sure. Bye now.